Today's daf is Yuma Daf Samach Test. Today's shir is sponsored by Mendy Yudin, Lezech Nishmas's grandfather, Joe Yudin, Yosef ben Yoshua ben Yom Zichrono Levracha. The Neshama should have an aliyah, and we thank Mendy very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the bottom of Daf Samach Ches on the base. We're right after the Mishnah at the beginning of the seventh parak. In the Mishnah, we learned how the Kohen Gadol reads certain parshios in the Torah to everybody, and then he says eight different brachos, and this is done at the very same time that the par and the sa'ir are being burned. So first we're going to discuss today whether big day kuna in general are mutter to get hana'a from, or big day kuna are also lehanas ben. We're going to discuss whether when the kohanim would go to sleep, and we were told by the Mishnah that they would put the big day kuna tachas mirashehem, what does that mean? Does that mean that they would literally use it as a pillow, or does it mean that they would put it near their heads? And that obviously plays into the discussion whether you're allowed to get hana from big day kuna. We're also going to discuss whether big day kuna can be worn outside of the Beis HaMikdash, both in terms of the element of getting hana from big day kuna, as well as the issue of kalayim, of shatness in big day kuna. And the Gemara is going to try to prove that big day kuna can be worn outside of the Beis HaMikdash from the very famous story of Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great, Alexander Smokton, where they ran into each other. We'll see that story, Be'ez Hashem, on Amud Aleph. Amud Beis also has some very famous Gemaras. We're going to discuss where the Kohen Gadol would read the Torah from and why he was allowed to sit, even though he was not a Melech. We're going to talk about how Ezra made HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gadol, or referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaGadol, and in what sense he did that. How did he, in what way did he glorify Hashem so much? And then the famous story of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah being handed over to Klal Yisrael to destroy, and the Yetzer Hara of Arayos almost being destroyed by Klal Yisrael. That also appears on today's daf on Amud Beis. And then at the very end of the daf, if we get to it, we're going to discuss when you're allowed to skip in terms of reading from the Torah, reading from a Navi, when you're allowed to be medallig in the reading. So let's see the Gemara from the beginning. So midiktani beitzalus love and mishalo mechlal the kriya love avodihi. From the fact that it says that while the Kohen Gadol is doing the kriya, if he wants, he could wear the big dekuna, but otherwise, if he doesn't want, he could just wear an itzalus love and mishalo. He could wear a nice white robe that he happens to have. So it sounds like kriya is not avoda, because if it were avoda, he would have to wear big dekuna. Vikatani, and yet it still says in Ratzal Likros be Big Day Boats Kare, that if he wants to wear the Big Day Boats, he's allowed to wear the Big Day Kuna while he reads, even though he's not doing Avoda. So Shamina Big Day Kuna Nitnil Hanas Ben. So this is a Raya that one is permitted to get Hana'a from Big Day Kuna. It's a Raya that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to get Hana'a from Big Day Kuna because he was wearing them Shalo Bishas Avoda. He was wearing them while he was doing the Kriya. So says Gmar Dilma Shiny Kriya Ditzorich Avodahi. Maybe the Kriya is different, because even though you're right, it's not an Avoda, and that's why he's allowed to wear other Begadim, but it is Tzorech Avoda, and therefore maybe it's somewhere in between. Maybe this is the kind of thing where he's allowed to wear other Begadim, but he's also allowed to wear the Big Dekuna, and it's not considered to be a violation of getting Hana from the Big Day Kuna. The Rishonim asks, Tosa Rosh, another Rishonim asks, why when it comes to Hana from Big Day Kuna, the Gemara is a whole diyun, and it even concludes in the end that you're allowed to get Hana from Big Day Kuna, and that it's not a violation of Mi'ila, yet when it comes to the Isra of Shatnes, the Gemara is going to take it as a Davar Pashud, that there is an Isra of Shatnes, Shalom B'Shas Avoda. So when it comes to the Isra of Hana, of Mi'ila, of getting Hana from something that belongs to Hegdish, so the Gemara is a whole discussion, and at the end of the day, says, that's no problem. You're allowed to get it out. You're allowed to wear it outside the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the Shatnez issue, where we know that while you're doing the Avoda, while the Kohen's doing the Avoda, he doesn't have to worry about the Shatnez issue. The Gemara takes it for Davar Pashut that he's not allowed to violate the Shatnez Shabo outside of the Avoda. And the Ritva adds that even though it says in the Gemara in Kedushin, the reason Big Dekuna are Nitna Lohanespan and Shalom Nitna Torah Lamalachi Ashares, but still, why doesn't it give that same reason to be Mati the Yisra of Klayim? So the Mefarish in Mesechus Tamid, there's no Rashi in Tamid, we just have a Mefarish on the side of the page of Mesechus Tamid, on Chavzayin Amar Aleph explains that Big Dekuna Nitna Lohanespan means that they were that when they originally Makdish the Big Dekuna, it was almenas that they should be able to get hana from it. It was a tenai based in. See, when you matish something, when you initially infuse something with kedusha, so at the time that you're infusing it with kedusha, we can control the how much kedusha we're allowing on it. We can make a tenai Tanai in the Kedusha. When it comes to the Yisr of Shatnes, there's no such thing. You can't like make a Tanai in the Yisr of Shatnes. That's already Muslim Yomin Mehar Sinai. That's already something that we already have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's not something that we're able to control. So that's how the Mefarish in Mesachas Tamid wants to explain the difference between the Yisr Mi'ila Shabo and the Yisr Shatnes Shabo. But on this topic of getting enough from Big Dekuna, the Gemara continues. The Ibailan, Big Dekuna, Nitnu Lamasban, Alon, Nitnu Lamasban. Is one permitted to get enough from the Big Dekuna or not? Tashma lohayu shenu b'big day kodesh. They wouldn't sleep in the big day kodesh. Sounds like shenu hudalo hamechalachli, that sleeping in big day kodesh was not permitted, but eating in the big day kodesh sounds like that was permitted. So you see that you're allowed to get anav from the big day kodesh. Says Marno dilma shiny achila. Maybe eating is different to tzorech avodi, because achila is considered also to be tzorech avoda. Kiditanya, like the Brisa says, va'achlo samasher kupar behem melamit shakwanim ochlim ubailim ischaprin. That somehow through the achila of the Kohanim, on the Kohanim eating the karbanos, the bailim achieve kapara. So therefore, even though eating is not necessarily an avoda per se, but it is considered enough of a tzorech avoda that the Kohanim are allowed to wear the big day kuna. Shinu delo hahiluchi mehalchi, but says Gemara another diuk. Maybe from the fact that it says they can't sleep in the big day kuna, the implication is they could walk around in the big day kuna as much as they want. Sounds like that it's not us to get enough from the big day kuna. So Gemara answers, no, that's not a raya. But dinu de luchinami lo. Maybe they're not even allowed to walk around in the big day kuna. Why does it tell me that they're not allowed to sleep in the big day kuna? The sefet zrichle poster to makapul manich and takas rasheim. It's obvious that they're not allowed to sleep in the big day kuna. That's not the chiddush. The chiddush, when we said they're not allowed to sleep in the big day kuna, is the end of the sentence. So what do they taka do with it? They fold it up and they put it takas rasheim. That's the chiddush. That it's that sleeping, wearing it is not okay, but putting it next to their heads, that is okay. Says Rashi, Shena denakad mishum debay lashminon shemutru litnan tachas rashayin v'sulo ichbat lanim yafiach me'achar shapostan. That even though they're in such close proximity to the big day kuna, we don't have to worry, shema yafiach, that they're going to pass gas and it's going to be disrespectful to the big day kuna. You only have to worry about that while they're actually wearing the big day kuna. Now, the Be'er Sheva raises the question that the Gemara Maseches Horios and Dafid Gimel and Beis tells us that someone who's maniach kelev tachas miroshosav, if a person puts his clothing under his head, uses his clothing as a pillow, it's meshachim es talmudo. It's going to cause him to forget all of his learning. So how would we allow that as the standard for Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, that they put the begadim tachas miroshayim? So he says maybe we're going to see soon that it's a discussion whether it was literally tachas miroshayim or only keneged roshayim, that it was near their heads. It may not have been directly underneath their heads. The Mishnah Berurah, anyway, when discussing this issue, the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Beis, writes that if you put something else to be mafsik between your head and the begadim that you're sleeping on, so then it's not considered a problem. And the Rosh Maseches Tamid tells us that they would bring karamu ksasos, they would have pillows. It wasn't that they didn't have pillows. They would have sheets. They would have blankets to sleep in. So it was underneath the pillow that they would put it. So therefore, maybe it wasn't a violation of something that would cause them to be mishakeach as talmudim, to forget all of their learning. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Salmas Chaim suggests different. In Chelek Aleph Siman Yud, in Salmas Chaim, he says, no, it's the whole issue of Meshakeach Talmudo is when it's your begadim, but these aren't their begadim. These are the begadim that belong to Kodesh, so that would not be a problem of causing them to forget their learning. But the Gemara works on this point of Tachas Mirasheim. Poshin mekapla nichnos and tachas rasheyan. So what does that mean? Sham ina bigdei kunin lanusben. The fact that they're using it as a pillow seems to be a pretty good proof that they're allowed to get hana from it, that it's mutter to get hana from it. So the Gemara is going to have two approaches. Approach number one is Rav Papa. Approach number two we're going to have in the third wide line, Rav Ashi. So approach number one, Amra Papa lo tema tachas rasheyan ela ima kineged rasheyan. They didn't put the bigdei kuna under their heads. They didn't use it as a pillow. They put it near their heads when they went to sleep. Amram Rashi, Sham Inat Tefillin Minatzad Shapir Dami. You see from there that if you have your tefillin near your head, if it's not not directly under your head, that's okay. You're allowed to go to sleep with the tefillin near your head, as Rashi points out. And we're not worried, Shema Yafiach Ben, we're not worried that it's going to be disrespectful to the tefillin if the person passes gas while he's sleeping near the tefillin. Tosfos says, no, that's not the issue over here. The issue over here, by putting tefillin near your head, is that you may roll over onto them, and that's going to be very disrespectful to the tefillin. That's going to be a bizarre to the tefillin. You're going to end up on top of the tefillin. So that's the issue, that we see that tefillin and atzad shapir dami, that we have to worry about neither of those things. And it seems that Rav Papa is correct, that they put the big day kuna near their heads, but not directly under their heads. How would they be allowed to put it underneath their heads? There's shatness in there, and because the avnate is there, so you're not allowed to go to sleep on shatness. You're not allowed to use shatness as a pillow. So granted, in terms of the kedusha shabo, in terms of the mi'ila shabo, you don't have to worry about that. No, because the big day kuna nitnu lehanospan. So that we're going to be comfortable with. That's okay, but you're not allowed to be nene from Klayim. This is what the Tosa Rush was referring to, that the Gemara takes it as a Davar Pashut, that the Klayim part is going to be Aser, that there's no special Heter for. There's only a special Heter for the Big Day Kodesh Shabbo, for the Mi'ilo Shabbo. So says the Gemara, so of course it's got to be not directly under their heads. You can't sleep on a pillow of Shatness. So says the Gemara, Hani Chlamanim Rav Netur Shal Kohen Gadol, Zeh Rav Netur Shal Kohen Hedyot, Elmani Rav Netur Shal Kohen Gadol, Lo Zeh Rav Netur Shal Kohen Hedyot, Ma'ik Lameimar. Meaning if you held that the Avnet of the fact that we're not worried about Kalayim, that we're not worried about Shatness, would work if you hold that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur was the same as the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot the rest of the year and had no Shatness in it. So then it makes a lot of sense that you're not worried about the Shatness. But if you hold that there is Shatness there in the Avnet, so why aren't we worried about the Shatness? So it must be that Saraya, again to Rav Papa, that they would put it near their heads, not under their heads. The Chitem, and if you're going to say, no, Klayim Belevisha V'Halahu Daser, Batsa Shari, maybe you are allowed to sleep on Klayim, because maybe the Isser of Shatness is only when you wear Shatness, or you put Shatness over you, but maybe when you go on top of Shatness, maybe that's not a problem, maybe that's permissible. V'Atanya, but says Gemara, that's not so. We have a brace that says as follows, Lo Ya'ale Alecha, Avalatamut Elatziu Tachtecha. On a Daraisa level, you're not allowed to put Shatness over you, but you're allowed to lie on top of Shatness. Aval Amru Chachamim Asalasos Kein Shematichach Nima Al Besaro Nima Achas Al Besaro. But it's still an Isser Midrabanan to lie on top of Shatness, because we're afraid that a strand is going to come over a person's skin, and he's going to get Hana from that strand that comes over his skin. So you see that it's clearly Usser even to lie on top of Shatness. So don't tell me that they would actually use the Big Day Kun as a pillow, because if they used it as a pillow and you hold that there was Shatness in the Big Day Kuna, it would be Usser to do that. It's a very strong kasha. The Maritz Chayis asks, wait a second, what kind of Isser would it be to do that? It would be an Isser Midrabanan, right? That's what this Brisa says, that Midaraisa only wearing Shatness is a problem, Midrabanan going on top of it is a problem. Shema, maybe a strand will come and go on top of your skin. So says Maritz Chayis, don't we know Ein Shvus B'Migdash? Oli Isser Midrabanan don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe they were Okima Daraisa, they followed the Din Daraisa, that you're allowed to lie on top of Shatness, and therefore they were allowed to use it. Ah, so that's what the Maritz Chayis says. So he says, from here is a raya to what the Marsha really writes already, that Ein Shvus B'Migdash is in Melachos of Shabbos. But by other Yisurim D'Rabbanan, then Yei Shvus B'Migdash. It's only that they weren't Gozer Shvus on Shabbos-related issues. But then the Maritz Chayis says, not necessarily. Maybe Ein Shvus B'Migdash is, maybe there's a different explanation over here. Maybe Ein Shvus B'Migdash does apply more broadly. Maybe over here there's a different explanation of why we're not going to apply Ein Shvus B'Migdash. What's the Svara for Ein Shvus B'Migdash? It's that Kohanim's reason, Haim. We assume that when Kohanim are on their game, they're on their game. They're not going to mess up. The whole idea of a Shvus is to protect us from violating other Isurim. But Kohanim, you don't have to worry about it. They're going to make sure that everything, that they're very careful not to violate any other Isurim. When they're awake, they can make sure that they're not going to violate anything. When they're sleeping, it's going to be much more challenging for them. So when they're sleeping, maybe yeshivos b'migdash when it comes to sleeping. Rav Yashiv also in his Ha'ara says that even if you say that by other isurim ain't shivos b'migdash, but it's only by things that are l'tzorich the migdash. That's some things that are l'tzorich the avoda. But the fact that they're going to sleep, you wouldn't say ain't shivos b'migdash and something like that. Again, related to the issue of Kohanim's reason. Ain't shivos b'migdash relates to their rizus in how they do the avoda, not in how they go to sleep. So we wouldn't apply Angel's Migdash quite so broadly. There's also discussion that the Isra of Shatness on a Daraisa level is Ha'ala'a B'derech Hana'a. It's when you put Shatness on you where you're getting Hana'a from it. So what's the concern over here? Shema Tichrach Bonima, a single strand is going to come over the person's skin, and then so? He's not going to get Hana'a from that. How do you get Hana'a from a single strand that's going to come on a person's skin? So Rashi Maseches Beitza deals with this issue, and he gives two answers. First, he says maybe it will be a big, thick strand that gives a person anah. Okay, possible. And the second possibility, he says, is that even if it's a very small strand, the Isser on the Daraisa level is not when you get hana'a from shatness that's on top of you. The Isser is to get hana'a from shatness and while shatness is on top of you. But it doesn't have to be that you're getting hana'a from the part that's on top of you. It just has to be that you're getting the hana'a from the shatness plus some shatness is on top of you. As long as you fulfill both of those criteria, so then it's going to be a violation midaraisa. So there is a strand on top of him, and he is getting hana'a from where all that's underneath him, so then it's going to be a violation. So this is... this is an issue when it comes to shatness, when it comes to anything where there's a concern of shematich rachnima, halach lemaisa, a concern of shematich rachnima, so we're careful about shatness. Someone once asked me a shayla, my mother once asked me a shayla, she was decorating someone's house, and she's a decorator, she wasn't stopped doing it, and they had ordered a carpet, and she went to the carpet store, and the carpet guy told her, you can't get this carpet, it's shatness. He knew that that it was shatness. I said, I never heard such a thing, that you can't get a carpet that's shatness. So I asked Rav Shachter what he thought, so he sent me that night, he had faxed me over that night a photocopy from a Sefer, I think Big Day Yesha, where Rav Bloy, I think it was, wrote a Sefer on shatness, where he says that it depends on the carpet. If it's a plush carpet where there's a concern, so then it's going to be a problem. But if it's a very hard, like industrial type of carpet, then there's no such concern of shemitah chbonima. It wouldn't be a problem, assuming a person walks barefoot sometime, every once in a while on a carpet. So it says, and if you can say, well, maybe there's something in between you and the shatness, and therefore it's not a problem of shatness. Even if you have ten cushions, one on top of the other, and there's shatness in the bottom one, you're not allowed to sit on it. So even that wouldn't help to have something in between. So it must be that they didn't sleep directly on the shatness. It must be that it was kineged roshay and not tachas roshay. And that is shitas Rav Papa. Says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar. Ravashi disagrees. He says liolam tachas roshayin. Really, they did sleep directly on it. They put it underneath their heads. Ay, v'akamisani miklayim. What are you going to do about the shatness problem? Big de kuhuna kashin hain. Big de kuhuna are hard, and therefore they don't give hana aslavisha, and it's not going to be a violation of klayim. Ki hadar amar v'huna b'rid Rav Yeshua, hay namta gamda dinarash sharia. If you have hard felt material, that is mutter. That's like the industrial carpet thing that I was just referring to. Tashma, big de kuhuna yotzi ben l'medina, aser. It's aser to go l'medina, to go out of the Beis HaMikdash with the big de kuhuna, because you're being noeg derech chol with the big de kuhuna. That you're not allowed to do. It's not the shatness issue, it's the derechol issue. Obimiglash bein b'shas avodah bein shalo b'shas avodah mutter meisha b'gdekuna nitnulei hanuspen. In the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's the time that you're actually doing the avodah or not, it's mutter to wear the b'gdekuna, because you're allowed to get hanah from the b'gdekuna. So shema minah, so this is a raya that one is permitted to get hanah from the b'gdekuna. This is the conclusion of that Gemara, that it's apparently permissible to get hanah from the big day kuna. Now the Torah in Parshas Truma, when it talks about the Bnei Yisrael donating toward the Mishkan. Torah says Zosa Truma Shatichu Meitam Zaha Vekesef Tcheles Vargamon, and it keeps on listing everything. And then the last things it lists are Avnei Shoam, Avnei Miluim, Le'ifod V'Lachoshen. So ask the Arachayim Hakadosh, why is it when the Torah lists off all the minim that we have to donate to the Beis Hamikdash are such precious gems listed last? You would think that they would be, they're so important, they're so, and they're on the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol, so it's a very important thing that they're used for. So why are they listed last? So says the Arachayim Hakadosh. It's based on this Gemara. Big Day Kuna are nitnu lahanaspan and are not subject to Me'ila. So the Avnei Shom, Avnei Milum are only used for the Choshen, which is part of the Big Day Kuna. So it turns out that their Kedusha is more Kal than everything else that's donated. All the other materials are used for something that's subject to Me'ila. Even Tcheles Vargamon, which are used in Big Day Kuna, are also used in the Parochos. So they're also used in things that are subject to Me'ila. So that's why, says Yaruch Haim HaKadosh, they're listed last, because their Kedusha is more Kal than anything else that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So says Gemara, b'Medina lo, are you really not allowed to wear the Big Day Kuna out in the Medina? V'atanya, but we have a Braisa that tells us the following story where we see a very great tzaddik wear the Big Day Kuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Story goes as follows. We all know the story best from Chamisha B'Teves, Yom Har Grizim, who at 25th day of Teves is a day called Yom Har Grizim, Delola Mispit. It's a very happy day. We're not allowed to give Hespit on that day. Yom Shabikshu Kutiyim is based on Lekenim Alexandros Mokdel Nachrivo, V'Nasulahem. It's a day that the Kutim requested permission from Alexandros Mokdon to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he gave them permission. So they went and they told Shimon HaTzaddik about this. Of all the Mistama, a lot of Tanaim were Tzaddikim. The Tashbit says he's not sure how Shimon HaTzaddik earned the title Shimon HaTzaddik. There were a lot of Tanaim that were all Tzaddikim. Why is Shimon HaTzaddik called Shimon HaTzaddik? It must be that he was so far greater, so much of a greater Tzaddik than anyone else in his generation, that he earned the title at Tzaddik. But it doesn't necessarily mean the other Tanaim weren't Tzaddikim. So anyway, so they told Shimon HaTzaddik, so what did he do? Lavash Big Day Kuna V'Nisatev Big Day Kuna. He put on his Big Day Kuna Umi Yakiri Yisrael Limo, and he brought some of the Choshva people of Klal Yisrael with him, Vavu Koshal Arbi Yadayan, and they were carrying torches in their hands, V'Kala Laila Halaloch Mitzadzeh V'Halaloch Mitzadzeh. All night long they were going with him, some on this side, some on that side, Ad Shalom Arashachar, until Arashachar came, Kivin Shalom Arashachar, Amar Lehem Mi Alalu. Since once Amar Arashachar came, so he said, who are these people? Amar Lo, Alexander Smokton said, who are these people? So Amar Lo, Yehudim Shemar Dubach. These are the Jews that are supposedly rebelling against you. Kivin Shegil Antipras, Zor Chachamu Pogu Zabazeh. When they got to Antipras, the sun shone, and they encountered each other, Alexandros and Shimon HaTzaddik. Kivin Shorol, Shimon HaTzaddik, Yard Mimrakafto Vishtach. When Alexander saw Shimon HaTzaddik, he got off of his chariot and he bowed to him. So the Kutim said, "What a melech like you is going to bow to a Jew like this?" He says, "I always see this person's image when I go out to fight wars." So he said to them, he said to the group of Jews, "What are you here for? Why did you come to greet me?" How could it be that the very house that we pray for you and for your government, that each and every day, that now it's going to be, you're going to hand it over to people who worship idols to destroy it? He says, I don't remember. Who did I give it to? So who are the people that, it's these guys that are with you, these people that are your entourage over here. You could do whatever you want with them. They're all yours. So they punctured holes. This used to be apparently a popular ancient way of torture. They punctured holes in their heels, and they hung them in the tails of horses, meaning they tied the horses' tails through the holes in the people's heels, and the horses would drag them on thorns and thistles until they got to Hargrizim. When they got to Hargrizim, which was their Avodah Zarah, so we plowed the area and planted the area exactly what they wanted to do to the Beis Hashem. And that day they made a Yom Tov. So great story, but what's the point of the story? Is that he wore the Big Day Kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. How can you say that you're not allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Shimon HaTzadik was a Tzadik, it's even in his name, and he wore it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says Gemara, Iba Yisema Ru'uyin the Big Day Kahuna. Either it means that he didn't actually wear the Big Day Kahuna, he wore clothing that was so chashuv that it was ra'uy to be Big Day Kuna.
Viba Yisema, or you could answer, Eis Asas Hashem, Hefer Rasor Asecha, that in times of great need, we're allowed to violate the Torah in order to protect whatever we need, whatever needs to be protected, in order to protect the Torah, in order to protect Klal Yisrael. So that's an exception that is made to the general rule that we're not allowed to violate the Torah. Okay, Chazan HaKnesset notel Sefer Torah. So we then said the Chazan HaKnesset takes the Sefer Torah and he gives it to the Rosh HaKnesset and the Rosh HaKnesset to the Skan and the Skan to the Kohen Gadol, etc. So Shem Minoch Cholkin Kabbalah Talmud Makom Arad. So we're giving Kabbalah to the Skan, the Rosh HaKnesset and the Skan by having someone hand them the Sefer Torah, even though the Kohen Gadol is right there. So you see from here, you're allowed to give Kabbalah to a Talmud, even b'makom Arav, even b'makom that the Rebbe is there, that own person's Rebbe is there. So Amar Abaye Kulam Mishum Kvod the Kohen Gadol. Not necessarily. All of that may be for the sake of the Kohen Gadol, for the covenant of the Kohen Gadol, meaning we're showing how many levels of people there are in positions of authority all beneath the Kohen Gadol. So it's not about the kavod of the Segan, it's not about the kavod of the Rosh HaKnesset, it's all about the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. So the Tosfos of Maseches Sota raises a question, Sota Daf Mem Amud Beis, that La Halacha, when a Rebbe is Cholei Kavod to his Talmud, it's mutter for others to be Cholei Kavod in front of the Rebbe also. So Tosfos raises the question, why didn't the Gemara just give that answer? I mean, the Gemara says, should we be able to prove from here Cholei Kavod the Talmud, whereas, no, you can't prove it because it's all for the covenant of the Kohen Gadol. Maybe there's a better answer, that you can't prove that you could be Cholei Kavod the Talmud Makom Arav, because everyone holds that if the Rebbe shows Kavod to the Talmud, then everyone's allowed to show Kavod. So maybe we're talking B'chei Gavna, that the Kohen Gadol also showed Kavod to the Segan and to the Rosh HaKnesset. So Tosfos says, yeah, but that's an Ukimta. Why would you make such an Ukimta? We don't know that the Kohen Gadol showed any Kavod to these people. We certainly have no indication that he had to. So if part of the Avoda was that the Sefer Torah would be handed in this way, regardless of how the Kohen Gadol behaved, so it must not be based on anything the Kohen Gadol initiated, on any sort of Kavod that the Kohen Gadol initiated. The Kohen Gadol Omeid. Then we said the Kohen Gadol stands up and receives the Torah. So Mechlal, the implication is Shehu Yoshev. That what it says, Omer Makabel. So it sounds like until that point, the Kohen Gadol was sitting the whole time. I thought nobody's allowed to sit in the Azara except for the Malchei Beis David. So how is the Kohen Gadol allowed to be sitting in the Azara? It happens to be, what's the source for this idea that only the Malchei Beis David are allowed to sit in the Azara? So Rashi quotes a pasuk that that from the fact that David HaMelech was Yoshev Lefnei Hashem. So the Ritva just raises the question that in the days of David there was no Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. They had a Mishkan and there was no Azara in the Mishkan. So how do you learn anything about Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara when there was no Beis HaMikdash? So he says even by Shiloh and Nova Givon there were still those levels of Kedusha. So there must have been an area that had the level of Kedusha of the Azara. So the same rule would still apply because it's all a function of the Kedusha of the Azara. So anyway, so how is the Kohen Gadol allowed to be sitting if there's no Yeshiva Ba'Azara? Shnemar V'yavam El David V'yashav V'Hashem. So Kedam Rav Chista Be'Ezras Nashim. So Rav Chista says he would be in the Ezras Nashim. That's where this Kriya took place. It wasn't really in the Azara. It was in the Ezras Nashim. That's where he was allowed to sit. So Achanayim Be'Ezras Nashim. So over here also, just like Rav Chista says Ezras Nashim, over here also we could say it was the Ezras Nashim. Where is Rav Chista's statement originally said about Ezras Nashim that we're applying to here? Aha d'tanya, hechon karinbo, where would they read from it? Ba'azar in the Azar. Blazer ben Yaakov, Omer b'harabayis. In the harabayis, shnemar v'yikrbo l'fnei haruchov v'ashel l'fnei sharamayim. V'am Rav Chista be'Ezras Nashim. And Rav Chista says, no, it wasn't in the Azar, it wasn't in the harabayis, it was in between, it was in the Ezras Nashim. V'yivarech Ezra es Hashem elokim ha'gadol. So now the Gemara is just going to continue with Darshan Pesukim. Pasuk says that Ezra blessed as Hashem Elokim HaGadol. So in some way, Ezra glorified HaKadosh Baruch Hu by calling him Gadol. So my Gadol, what does it mean Gadol? So Amrav Yosef, Amrav Shegidlo B'Shem HaMeforash, that he glorified HaKadosh Baruch Hu by using the Shem HaMeforash to describe him. Rav Gidol Amar, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, that he instituted that special bracha of Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, that in that way he was megadel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was a special bracha that they would say in the Beis HaMikdash, that Ezra was the one that instituted it. Amalei Abaylu Rav Dimi v'dilma shegidlo b'shem ha'mefarash. How do you know? Maybe it was that he used the shem ha'mefarash. How do you know that it was me'olam v'ad ha'olam that he used? Amalei Einor m'shem ha'mefarash b'gvulim. Now you're not supposed to say the shem ha'mefarash in the gvulim outside of the Mikdash. V'lo v'aksiv v'yamer Ezra sofer al-migdal etzah sharasu l'davar v'am Rav Gidl shegidlo b'shem ha'mefarash. Aye, but we did learn that Ezra was megadel b'shem ha'mefarash, that he did use the shem ha'mefarash. Says Mar Rasha, he said that was a one-time exception, but typically one is not allowed to use the shem ha'mefarash outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Ve'yitzuk el Hashem Elokim b'kol gadol, so they cried out to Hashem with a kol gadol. My Amr, what were they crying out to Hashem? Amr avitem Rav Yochanan baya baya. They were crying out baya baya. Rashi says it's lashon haramos of ginuach v'tzaka. It's like oy vavoy. It's like just screaming out. It's an expression. In the Chuvas Sefer, quoting in the Biri Adav from Chuvas Imre David Simon Kufayin Beis, he says that if a person is davening and he cries out in the middle of his tefillah with a ginuach or a tzaaka, like to say, oh, ribayna shalaylam, right in the middle of his tefillah, that it's not a hefsik, that that's considered part of a tefillah. Because over here also, they were omid b'tefillah, tzaaka is a lashon of tefillah, and they were crying out, baya baya, that's apparently, he wanted a tanya, that's apparently mutter. So, haynu hayda achreve, so what were they screaming, what were they crying for? Haynu hayda achreve l'mikdash v'kol ilay chalei, it's this yetzer hara of avodah zarah that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and burnt the Heichal v'katlinu l'kuli tzaddiki and killed all these tzaddikim v'glinu l'Yisrael me'arayun and caused Klal Yisrael to go into galus v'adayin mirakid benon, and we're still not free of it. The Yetzer Hara of avodah zarah is still around. Why do you give us the Yetzer Hara, Ribbono Shel Olam? You give us the Yetzer Hara so that we can get schar by defeating the Yetzer Hara. I always give the mashal, I don't know if it's a little bit of a lahavdil. The mashal is like the team, Washington Generals, the team that plays the Harlem Globetrotters. They only show up to lose. Their whole point is to lose, to make the Globetrotters look good. That's what the Yetzer Hara is there for. The Yetzer Hara is there not to win. His job is to lose. So if the Yetzer Hara is going to win, lo iu b'inan v'lo igre b'inan. We don't need it. We don't need the schar because we're not getting the schar anyway. So Navalu Pitka Mirakia Davakasaba MS. A petek, a little note, came down from Shemayim that said MS on it. Amrav Chanina Shemamina Chasom Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu MS. We see that Kodesh Baruch Hu's signature is MS. They say from the Kutzker that the Chosam is MS because the Chosam is something that cannot be forged. MS is the only thing that cannot be forged, because if it's forged, by definition, it's not MS. It's then Sheker. So that's why it's Chosam Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu is MS. Maral says that the reason the Chosam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS is because MS is one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's only one MS. There aren't multiple versions of the truth. There's only one truth. So that's Maral. And the Sivas Olam says, so that's the Achdus HaBore, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad, and that's why it's MS. He says, the Maral says, Echad is Begematria Yud Gimel, from the Os Aleph until the Os Mem, in the Aleph Beis, is 13 Osios, and from Mem until Taf is also 13 Osios. So Echad, the MS, represents the Echad in Gematria as well. So says the Gemara, Osivu b'ta'anisa t'losa yomen, so they sat and fasted for 3 days, v't'losa l'liusa and 3 nights, masru ne'aleu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah over to them. Nafagasa ki gurya denura mibes kodesh HaKadoshim. It came out like a fiery lion from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In Michta Me'aleo, Rav Dessler discusses, why dafka the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That's where the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah is hanging out, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he says, you see that this is a very lofty Yetzer Hara. This was not a Yetzer Hara for simple people. This was the Yetzer Hara. The holier a person is, and the more he's involved in deep issues of Jewish philosophy and Ashkafa and whatever, the slightest change and the slightest turn could lead him to Avodah Zarah. That the loftier a person is intellectually, the easier it is to take one step in the wrong direction and end up in Avodah Zarah. So Amaluhu Navili Yisrael, Hainu Yitzra Davod Zchavim. So the Navi told Klal Yisrael, that's it. That's the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. So while they grabbed it, a hair fell from its mane, and it screamed because of the pain of losing the hair. And the roar was so great that it went 400 parsos. So they said, what should we do with this? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have rachmanos because he's screaming for this pain. So he's going to have rachmanos on the Yetzer Hara. So they said, put it in a lead cauldron, v'chafiu lupume ba'avra, and cover its opening of that cauldron with lead, the avra mishav shav kala, because that will drown out the noise, that will block off any noise that it makes, and then Hashem won't hear its tefillah. Shenemar v'yomer zos arisha v'yashlech osal toch ha'efa v'yashlech zeven oferes al piya. So amru hol v'isratzon hu nibay rachmeya yitzra da'avera. So once that worked, once they locked up the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, might as well try again. Let's see what other good Yetzer Haras we have out there. So once the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was gone, we'll try the Yetzer Hara of Arayos. That seems to be a pretty bad Yetzer Hara. Maybe we should try to defeat that one as well. It's amazing that the two greatest Yetzer Haras, one, as the I just pointed out from Rav Dessler, is the most intellectual and the most, for someone who's living in the world of Seichel, entirely in the world of Seichel, and the other very great Yetzer Hara is the most animalistic of all of them. It's Yetzer Hara of Arayos. That's what a human being is. We're this combination of the physical and the ruchni and the spiritual, and therefore our Yetzer Hara hits us very hard in both of those areas, or at least they used to in the Seichel. Now not so much, because they took care of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. So they decided they'll go after the Yetzer Hara of Arayos. So Bo Rach Mivim Sri Adayu. So they davened, and the Yetzer Hara of Arayos was given over in their hands. Amrul Chazudi Katlisu Leilahu Kali Alma. They said, if they said, you better be careful. If you kill this Yetzer Hara, the world's going to be destroyed. We need this Yetzer Hara. Chavshu Tosiyomi. So they locked it up for 3 days to see what would happen. Ubo Beyasa Basiyoma B'chol Eretz Yisrael V'lo Shtakach. And they couldn't find a single egg that was laid in all of Eretz Yisrael without the Yetzer Hara of Arayos. Amri Hechi Navid. So they said, what are we supposed to do now? Niktale Kali Alma. If we kill this Yetzer Hara, the whole world's going to be destroyed. Nibai Rachame Apalga. Should we daven that it gets halfway destroyed, that the bad side should be destroyed? Palga Berikil O Yahavi. It's all or nothing. You can't get half. So Kachlinu Le'ini V'Shavku. So they blinded its eye and they left it alone. V'ahani. So what did that blinding help? That it at least caused that a person shouldn't have a Yetzer Hara for his own relatives. The Yetzer Hara of Arayos is no longer gets a person, a normal person, doesn't have a Yetzer Hara for Arayos for his own close relatives. In Eretz Yisrael, they taught like this. Rav Gidol Amar, Gadlo, Shagadlo B'Shem. So that's the end of the story with the Yetzer Haras. Right? So the Yetzer Hara of Arayos is still very much alive and well, and causing a lot of trouble still, unfortunately. But the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, that one has been pretty much destroyed. So, how did we get into this? Because we started discussing about how Ezra was megadol the Shem Hashem, how he glorified the Shem of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, b'marava masumachi, Rav Gidol Amar gadol shegidol b'shem ha'mefarash. That Rav Gidol said that he was megadol the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he glorified Kodesh Baruch Hu using the Shem ha'mefarash. Rav Masna Amar hakel ha'gadol ha'gibor va'anora. V'hadar Rav Masna matil Rav Shuba Levi. Tom Rav Shimon Levi, Lomanik Rashman Anshe Knesset Gedola, Shechzir Atar Liyoshna. The Rav Shimon Levi says, why were the Anshe Knesset Gedola called the Anshe Knesset Gedola? Because they brought back the original glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was lost over time. How so? Asa Moshe Amar Akela Gadol Gibor Vanora. Moshe Rabbeinu came along and he said Akela Gadol Gibor Vanora. Asa Yirmiyova Amar Nachri Mekarkarin Veichalo Ayei Nora Osav. There are goyim dancing around the Heichal. Where's the Nora of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Lo Amar Nora. So Yirmiyova took out the word Nora. It was just Akela Gadol Gibor. Asa Daniel then came along, Amar, Nachrim Mishtabdin Bibanav, Ayei Gvurosav, the Nachrim are Mishtabdin in the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael. So where's the Gvuros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lo Amar Gibor, so he took out the word Gibor. Asu Inuva Amru, Adrab, Zui Gvuroso, Gvuros Gvuroso, Shekovish Es Yitzro, Shenosin Erech HaPayim L'Rashayim. He says, no, Adrab, this is the sign of Hashem's Gvura, that he's being so patient with these Rashayim, so that it'll ultimately destroy them entirely. Ve'elu hei Nora Osav, and this is the Nora of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shel Mali Maro Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echuma Achas Yichol L'Skayim Beinu Umos. If not for the Mora of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how would it even be possible? The miracle of Jewish survival is a raya to the Nora Osav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Frekli Gemar V'Rabban Hechi Avdi Achi V'Akri Takanta D'Tak and Moshe. Who gave Yirmiyahu the right in the first place to take away, and Daniel the right to take away some the titles that Moshe Rabbeinu was masakin, and that's the way we're supposed to daven. So, Amar Blazim, Mitoch Sheyodim HaKadosh They knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chosim is emes, so they couldn't lie. So if they perceived it otherwise, they had to give it that way. So Rav Shachter points out in Big Fe'atzon that you see from here that the way that one praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way that one is mispelled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to be the way that we are able to appreciate him and relate to him. And that's why that until Amalek is destroyed, Eina Kisei Shalem. What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change? It's kafira to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes. So what does it mean Eina Kisei Shalem, that the Malchus is Shalem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is always the Malchus. It's always there. What's wrong with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nothing changes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, but the way we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. And with Amalek still around, with Sadik Veralo still happening right in front of our faces, so we can't. That's the way we have to relate to him. We have to relate to him the way we see it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, and he wants us to be MS. And that's why, even though we know that everything, David Rachman al Tavavid, when someone dies, Rachman al son, we make a bracha of dying MS. We do not make a bracha of Atov HaMetiv. One day we will make the bracha of Atov HaMetiv, but we can't yet, because we're not allowed to. Even a person's a big tzaddik, and he believes that. But we know that we don't yet appreciate the goods, what's good about all the bad things that happen. So we have to make a bracha of dying MS. Okay, but Hashem, we will pick up with the two dots tomorrow. Oh, yeah.